Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we're talking about the big issue about vaccinations in California. There's one place where it's really working, and that's in Long Beach. This week, New York Times described Long Beach as a potential model for the whole country. So we're going to talk to the Long Beach mayor. And a little bit later, a debate about vaccinations, COVID relief, impeachment, recall, with Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks on the left and Giano Caldwell of the Fox News Channel on the right. And surprisingly, they both agreed that Governor Newsom needs to be recalled. We'll get into that, made some news on that in a little bit. But let's begin with Mayor Garcia about vaccinations, also about that recall, about schools, about several other things, and about his personal connection to COVID-19. Of course, he lost his mom and his stepfather to COVID-19 earlier this year. So here is the mayor of Long Beach, Robert Garcia.
Mayor Garcia, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. So the big question is, what are you doing in Long Beach that other people are not doing, and what can everybody else learn from what you're doing?
Well, I think first, you know, Long Beach has really been a great model. We're really proud of the work that's happened in the city, and we have an amazing team on the ground. We also have our own health department. So even though Long Beach is a pretty big city, I mean, we're roughly the same size from a population perspective as like Atlanta, Georgia, we do have our own health department, so we can move fast and make decisions quickly. We did make a key decision, I think, early on that really helped us out. When the vaccine started coming in towards the end of December, we didn't overly plan how much vaccine we're going to give out over the next 2 to 3 weeks and space it out and worry about running out. Our plan and our day kind of one initiative was, let's run out. Let's get as much vaccine out the door as possible and continue then to focus as much as possible every single day and get through the vaccine. And that helped us move really fast, really quick. I mean, our healthcare workers are done, 100% nursing homes are done, firefighters, police officers, and now, of course, we're the real first city to be doing all of our school institutions as well as food and grocery. So that piece is going really well, and it continues to work out. We have some kinks, but overall, I think we're probably one of the best in the state.
Why do you think other people have not been able to do what you've done?
Well, I mean, I think first, again, I think we have a lot of health departments and jurisdictions across the state from those I've talked to are really focused on a lot of the bureaucracy of getting the vaccine out. How many vaccines are we going to give on Monday versus Tuesday versus Wednesday so we don't run out until the next shipment comes in? We just took a very different approach. We focus on running out of vaccine. I also think that executives have to be obsessed with this. And I think for me, I wake up every morning and I think about what am I going to do today to get as many vaccines into people's arms as possible. And if you're not a mayor, a chief executive, a county supervisor, and this is not your number one priority, you're not doing your job. This has got to be everybody's obsession, or we're not going to get through the vaccine.
Another big story where Long Beach is taking the lead that's getting attention all over the country is on the so-called heroes pay issue. Your city passed a rule that grocery stores have to pay their workers an extra $4 an hour for working during the pandemic. Ralph's and Food for Less respond to that by saying, we're going to close two of our stores in Long Beach because that makes it just too expensive for us to operate. What do you say to critics who say by doing heroes pay, you're driving out business?
Well, first, be clear. Heroes pay has been earned by those workers. It is a temporary $4 an hour increase over a few months. And it's also something that was done by these grocery markets over the summer. They actually were paying it and stopped doing it. Kroger is this company, by the way, according to the Brookings Institute, almost doubled their earnings in the last year. Supermarkets are making record profits on the backs of these workers during this pandemic. And so I don't know that anyone can go into their grocery store and look at one of these workers in the eye and not think that they deserve a few extra bucks during this pandemic. This was passed unanimously by the city council with bipartisan support on that body. And so we're proud to support it. And I think what Kroger is doing with these two stores is wrong and really shameful, I think, for them to do that, considering that these workers have earned this.
But not everybody is behind it. I spoke this week with L.A. County Supervisor Catherine Barger about it. Here's why she does not support it.
I think it is total government overreach. I think it's up to each market.
What do you say to that, the idea that it's government overreach and that this really isn't the role of the government?
Well, the government sets the minimum wage. I mean, I think let's be honest about what the government actually does. When California went to $15 an hour, Long Beach had done it a year before. cities can and have the ability to set wages. And that's something that cities do. And so it's actually not government overreach. It's what the government does. And in this case, I think the people that are working so hard under conditions where they're seeing more people in and out of their stores than any other profession, I think is fair.
Another big issue that you're in the middle of, you're in the middle of a lot of issues, the recall of Governor Newsom continues to pick up steam. You're a supporter of his. You were part of a press conference where you expressed your support for him. What is your message to those who are frustrated with the state of the state, believe that he hasn't done a good enough job, and they want to throw him out?
Listen, I think that would be a huge mistake. Here's the truth. Governor Newsom was elected by the state in huge numbers, won in a landslide election. Let's give him a chance to lead. He is leading in a moment of crisis. He's leading the largest state in the country through the largest probably challenge our state has ever faced and the largest loss of life. This is a pandemic that has affected everyone. Business owners, affected us as families, people that have lost folks within their own families. So I think the governor as a mayor has been great in getting us resources we need on the ground. He has been a partner to cities. He's ensuring that we're getting vaccinations out. And I think he deserves a chance to lead us through this pandemic. I have supported it and I will continue to support him.
But there are some that are going to hear that and say he's had a chance to lead. And the vaccinations in California among the worst in this state, in the country, homelessness among the worst in the country. Those are some of his results.
Let's be honest. I think homelessness has been a challenge for this state and this country long before Gavin Newsom was the governor. Instead of putting our effort into a campaign that, in my opinion, is going to, if that ends up qualifying, will be a distraction to the work that we have in front of us, let's focus on fighting this pandemic. Let's focus on getting people vaccinated. Let's focus on keeping people safe. That's what I'm focused on, and it's certainly what the governor's focused on.
And of course, this issue, COVID-19, is such a big issue for so many people, and so personal for you as well. You were last on the show after your mom and stepdad died from this horrible disease. And I'm wondering, as you got the vaccine, as you help administer this to other people, how do you think about them?
Well, I think about them a lot. In fact, I think that part of my obsessive nature about vaccination really is about the potential life-saving that is happening at that moment. And I think my mom would have been one of the first people to get the vaccine as a healthcare worker. Of course, she passed. So I view whoever else gets it as an opportunity to really help save them and save their lives, which is why it's so important to me. And it drives me every day, just certainly the memory of my mom and my stepfather. This is still a very serious pandemic. Let's work together. Let's be safe, and let's keep the rest of our families, safe. We're almost there. We're months away from being in a much better place.
Well, Mayor Garcia, again, our condolences to you, and our congratulations to you as well for some tremendous success in Long Beach. It's nice to be able to highlight something good that's going well as well. I know many of your residents are very grateful for that, and thanks for coming on and sharing your views.
Thank you very much.
Our thanks to Mayor Garcia. Now, a debate which turned into a discussion which turned into an agreement on a lot of things with Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks on the left, Gianno Caldwell, Fox News political analyst on the right. He is the host of the Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell podcast. Here they are.
Welcome back to The Issue Is, both of you on for the first time together. We're excited to see that. Anna, let's start with you. The Democrats seem to be saying, look, if Republicans don't want to work with us, we've got the votes. We're going alone. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that approach? And what do you think of the bill itself when it comes to COVID relief?
Considering the urgency of the situation and the fact that more and more Americans are falling into poverty as a result of this pandemic, we can't waste any time. And if the Republican Party decides to serve as some sort of obstacle to passing relief to Americans right now, I think that it is in the best interest of Americans and the Democratic Party to pass a more robust coronavirus relief package that gets money into people's hands immediately.
It's a very, very big package. And anyone who says the Republicans didn't try to work with the Democrats on this, it isn't true. You just had 10 Republicans go meet with Joe Biden, President Joe Biden in the Oval Office about a bipartisan compromise, and Democrats are saying no. So at the end of the day, it's not the unity in which we were promised by Joe Biden.
But really, the proposal that they had was a $618 billion relief package, as opposed to a nearly $2 trillion relief package, which means less money in the hands of Americans who desperately need that relief right now.
Now, whether the package be large enough or not, I do agree that at this point, we shouldn't necessarily be talking about how much debt we incurred when we got Americans who have sent their tax dollars over to D.C. year after year. And in a lot of cases, some of these people, this is their first time on unemployment ever in their lives. So, yeah, we should open up the pocketbooks of the American of the U.S. government and send these people $2,000 checks. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And it might have also been bad politics not supporting that $2,000 checks, and that may have contributed to their loss in Georgia as well.
All right,
in the middle of all of this negotiating comes President Trump's impeachment trial next week. Giano, Democrats saying President Trump incited an insurrection. He should be held accountable. Do they have a point there?
What I would say is he stirred up the passions of his people and said, go to the Senate, where he knew they were doing the people's business. So whether it was to be a distraction outside or much more, he did incite that. So he should be condemned for his actions. And I don't think there should be any consideration of trying to defend him on that point at all. Now, when it comes to the impeachment, is it really worth the people's time when we have really serious issues? I would say it isn't. Like, what's the point that we have real issues that the American people are considerate of versus the politics of convicting a former president when you're not going to even be able to convict
him? Anna.
Well, you know, the 45 Republican senators who came forward and essentially argued that the impeachment trial would be unconstitutional, even though that's not true. Legal experts have weighed in, and Donald Trump was a sitting president when he engaged in this type of behavior. And so I do believe that there need to be consequences. I'm incredibly frustrated. They're not going to find him guilty. They're not going to convict him. And I think that sends the wrong message. So I'm worried that the Democrats' action here will backfire in giving people the sense that he actually did nothing wrong because he wasn't convicted in the Senate trial.
Giano, if you were in the Senate, would you vote to convict him?
That's a great question. I never thought about that. No, I probably wouldn't. We need to be focusing on real issues like putting the American people back to work, COVID vaccine rollout, things that really matter, not former President Donald Trump.
All right. We're going to take a pause in this conversation and talk about some of those big issues. Anna, Giano back after this to talk about California politics. California's governor is already facing several challenges, both in 2022 and for a potential recall election after this year. His poll numbers not doing particularly well right now. Let's show you some of them. According to UC Berkeley, back in September, Governor Newsom had a 64% job approval rating. Now it is at 46%. Do California voters want to recall him? Well, 45% want to retain him, 36% want to remove him, 19% undecided. So what's next? Activists are close to getting the 1.5 million signatures needed by March to force a recall election later this year. Remember, on that ballot, there would be two questions. One, should Governor Newsom be recalled? And two, if he is, who should replace him? Let's talk about this now. Recall politics with Anna Kasparyat of the Young Turks, Giano Caldwell, host of the Out Loud with Giano Caldwell podcast. Giano, you actually moved out of California temporarily because you're so angry with Governor Newsom. My guess is you're supporting this recall.
Absolutely, I am. And 2 months into the shutdown, I moved to Miami, and I was supposed to return back January 15th. However, things have gotten so bad in California, I can't move back. This governor has mismanaged COVID, businesses shutting down. And what's so interesting to me being here in the state of Florida right now is the state of Florida is wide open. And there's over a million COVID cases in the state of Florida. There's 3 million COVID cases in the state of California, and it's been completely shut down. So what's the bonus of shutting down if you're going to still have high numbers in a very large state like that and you're comparing the two? What's the point?
Of course, there are more people that live in the state of California than live in the state of
Florida.
Correct.
But still in all, though, the numbers have been drastically going up.
Right.
And the state is shut down. So that doesn't make any sense.
Although in the last few weeks, they have opened up many things. Anna, your thoughts on the recall?
Well, if you were looking for a debate in this segment, unfortunately, you're not going to get it because I would not only like to recall Gavin Newsom, I think we should also focus a little bit on Eric Garcetti, who's been a complete and utter disaster in Los Angeles County. a native Angeleno. I was born and raised in California. I love my state. I love the people in the state. But it is an absolute wasteland right now. Every freeway bridge is full of people living in tents. There's excrement on our sidewalks. It's unsafe. Crime has gone up. And when it comes to coronavirus, I mean, the fish rots from the head down. Let me just mention that while Americans are encouraged to shelter in place, encouraged to practice social distancing, no eating indoors at restaurants, you know, he was seen at the French Laundry meeting up with his lobbyist buddies. That is unacceptable. I have not seen competent leadership from Gavin Newsom, and I will state on this show, every single member of my family signed our names, provided our signatures to recall him.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll take his position since nobody else is, just to play devil's advocate.
That's an unpopular position to take.
The Newsom team would say, look, this job has been so difficult because he's dealt with both the COVID situation and unemployment and wildfires and racial justice issues all in the same year. And he's sort of done the best that he can in trying to deal with all these. What specifically, Anna, from a policy perspective, would you like to have seen him done differently versus what he has actually done?
First of all, I'd get real aggressive about building housing immediately, right? Putting porta potties under freeway bridges for homeless people to use is not a solution to this problem. I would also find ways to ensure that businesses have the, you know, economic relief necessary to remain stable throughout this process. So if you're going to force them to shut down, what are you going to do to ensure that once these shutdowns are lifted, that these businesses don't go underwater, don't shut down, don't go bankrupt? I mean, it's just a lack of planning, a lack of thoughtfulness, a lack of humanity when it comes to how this state has dealt with the homeless issue. I do hope that, you know, Californians have options. So I know that there's someone to the right who's planning on challenging Gavin Newsom. And I hope that we have other options because clearly I'm a progressive and I would rather have a progressive option.
All right. Our personal issues segment this week is a special Super Bowl version. Anna Kasparian, usually on the left, Giano Caldwell, usually on the right. But can sports or culture bring them together? Here are our questions for them. Okay, Giano, to you first. Your favorite NFL team?
Chicago Bears.
Anna?
The Chargers.
Okay, there you go. One of the few people ever to have sent the Chargers. Anna.
That's not a good sign.
Your favorite Super Bowl snack. You're having a Super Bowl party. What's the snack go-to you want?
I love anything fried chicken related. So chicken nuggets, chicken drumsticks. I don't care. Fried chicken.
That sounds good. Giano.
Actually, it's the same for me. And actually, hot dogs, too. Like, that's a good one, right?
That is a good one. All right, and finally, Giano, your favorite Super Bowl halftime show ever?
I like the one with Bruno Mars and Beyonce was in there. Me and my girlfriend are really excited about The Weeknd, so we're going to be watching.
I really enjoyed the halftime show last year. I think it was one of my favorites.
And that was Jennifer Lopez and also Shakira last year. Our thanks to Anna and Giano and to Mayor Garcia and to you for listening. I'm Alex Michelson. Thank you so much. Please connect with me in social media at Alex Michelson and on Instagram and Facebook and everything else. And look forward to seeing you next time for more of The Issue Is.